love to hear sing most is with Cookie. That gets to me. All right, we're in John 14. I'm going to try to behave myself and try to control myself. I want to preach for a while this morning on our responsibility to mature. The word mature means to be perfect. It also means to be complete. People get all mixed up on that word, just lets it really confuse them. But the main meaning of it is completeness, to be complete. Our Lord was discussing, preaching to his disciples. And as I said so often this passage, let not your heart be troubled. You believe God? He says, what about me? Believe also in me. Why don't you have faith in me? Why don't you trust me? Why don't you just know who I am? And it's kind of the theme, if you'll remember that as you go down through this. He sets it up, who he is, and keeps on dealing with them, what they think about him, how they've treated him. He gets down to the very spot where he says, you don't even know me. I don't know much we care about whether people know us or not. There's some we hope love us and care for us. But Jesus is speaking to these disciples that's been with him for 3 long years. Listen to the greatest teacher there ever was, the perfect teacher. He made himself clear. He didn't have to correct himself. He didn't have to go back and apologize for himself. What he says was true and right. He'd look him in the eye, didn't bother him a bit. He's the essence of truth. And here's his disciples. And the more it's almost troubled me to study this passage, to think that they would confront him and deny him and right into his face, refute what he had to say. You take in verse 4, and whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. He says, you know it, you know. He's not guessing, he's not uncertain. He knows deep down in the heart, he can read their minds. But yet there was something missing there. And here comes Thomas back at him. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? I mean, what do you mean? We don't know the way. We don't even know you. Where you're going? And he told him many times before, I return to my Father. He didn't get it. And so he deals with Thomas, and it deals with him and said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Here goes Philip's chance. Come on now, wait a minute. Look at Philip. Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Verse 7 said, you know him and have seen him. He made it clear, I've not held anything back. I've not deceived you. I've made it crystal clear to you who I am and who the Father is. And we're inseparable. We're one in a holy trinity, in a holy dogma. We're one. You can't separate us. We're alike in every way. All the principles, all the characteristics, all these things, he says, we're together. We're one together. And you know that you've never seen a difference between me and the Father. Why don't you believe that? Why don't you accept that? Why don't you understand that? Why haven't you learned that? Why is it that you don't understand what I'm saying? He's going to deal with them about the fact that they haven't progressed hardly whatsoever in their faith. He's going to rebuke them. He's going to rebuke them about the failure of not growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to nail their hide good for their spiritual ignorance after 3 years of walking with God. Notice what it says. Jesus said in verse 9, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" Now, wait a minute. Philip, actually, if we went back to John 1 and verse 44 and 45 in John 1, you'll see that Philip went and told others, "We've found the Messiah." Now, here, 3 years later, Jesus is saying to him, "What do you mean you don't know me? How can you say that? How can you say that I've not made it clear who the Father is and who I am, and we're one in a Trinity? Well, we're ununited. We're both the same. We have the same attributes. There's no difference in us. You can't divide us. We have the same judgments. We have the same love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus gave himself for us, a sacrifice for our sin. There was that same love in the Father as it is in the Son. Same. Nothing difference in them." Why would you say that? Notice he said, "Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou?" How sayest thou then, "Show us the Father"? A few moments this morning. That caught my attention, and I thought I'd just like to deal with this thought of how, with the years we have, how far progressed are we? Could you say we're ready to graduate? Could we say that we've actually been good students of the Word? Or do we deserve the same rebuke? Do we deserve the same questioning by the Lord? You mean after three years of traveling with me and hearing all my messages, and he said to him, "And yet hast thou not known me?" Well, preacher, he did know him. No, Jesus said he didn't. But he was there with him. He heard everything. Jesus said he didn't really know him. Don't add to the Word of God. Don't try to wrest the Scriptures to your own destruction. Don't try to confuse it. Jesus said, "Philip, you don't know me. You don't really understand who I am and what I represent. You don't understand the relationship of the deity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost of God. You're divided. You don't even know me. You think you know the Father, but you don't even know him. You've not grown. You've not matured in your faith. You've not really developed an understanding of the truth." Now, I want to challenge our hearts and think about it just for a while. Have we obeyed the gospel? The gospel is more than just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, no, I don't like to say who he is, but an old Calvinist preacher made this statement. He said, if you go on and just believe in Jesus Christ and leave the Lord off, you really don't know him. Thou shalt believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, boy, I like that statement. This guy wrote a lot of books. I'm saying to you, you and I are given the responsibility to develop this Christian life. It's not given to you. You don't know it all. You don't understand it all. When you got born again, there was a natural desire put in you to understand the truth. You hungered and thirsted after righteousness. You wanted to know. As newborn babes, you begin to desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. A person that don't fall in love with the Bible and salvation is missing something. The natural habitat of the word of God deals with you the moment you become saved. And you won't get enough of this Bible. You want to read and read. I remember before I was saved, I made a lot of professions. And I do like most people. Somebody tell you don't read your Bible. I'd read a little bit. You're reading your Bible for 15 minutes, half an hour. That isn't studying your Bible. The Bible says study to show yourself approved unto the preacher. No. You don't press a preacher by saying, I read the Bible. Yeah, I read my Bible today. I read it 5 minutes. I read it 10 minutes. I read two pages. I read three pages. 2 Timothy 2:15. It's one of the requirements God gives you. Study to show yourself approved unto who? God. Not man. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be Philip, ashamed. Rightly, and you wonder why people have lack of discernment. You wonder why they can go in any old church and hear a lie that sounds good to them. You have to have a knowledge of this book to protect you. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I read it up there this morning. Your word hid in your heart would keep you from living a sinful life. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. I'm saying to you that the Christian is birthed into a school with a desire and a compassion and a drive in their heart that they want to know God. They want to know what he's like. They want to have a personal experience with him. They want to be close to him. They want to sense his presence. They want to know what he wants them to do. They want to know what it means to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to know his character. They want to sense his love. It's a lot more than down sitting there reading three pages and then getting on your phone for about 2 or 3 hours a day. Maybe filtered out. And so all you do is play with the phone. I don't know it. I'm not going to try to shame you or embarrass you. I'm not going to do that. But I want you to know we fail to realize the distractions that this world has put in place to keep you from studying the Bible. If I read statistics, I do. I try to check how much people use the phone, how often they use the phone, what they do with the phone. I try to investigate everything I can to see how people are living today, how they spend their time, how much time they spend with God. If you met the Lord tonight or today, and he asked you, how much time did you spend studying my word to get to know me, to be closer to me? more about Jesus would I know. I want to know more. I want to understand it. I want to understand the love of God. I just mentioned it about the teaching of the foot washing experience. The more I read, I sat down and I read Matthew Henry. It took me about 2 hours to just read his comments on that. If you've got a Matthew Henry, I challenge you to read it about the foot washing, that experience. And the lower he took Christ down to slavery, and how that Jesus humbled himself and washed Judas's feet. I want to know a God, how he can do that. How can you do that? How can you forgive people that in my mind they only deserve being cast into hell? How can you have such a love as that? How can you be so compassionate? How can you be so merciful? How come you don't tire of us coming? Why, you'd think that you're almost letting us by, but you're not. I know you're not. I'm saying to you, do you really know the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about know him as a personal Savior. I'm talking to you about you knowing his character, his personality. I'm talking about really knowing what pleases him and what doesn't please him. I'm talking about what satisfies. I'm talking about what he wants in my life. I'm talking about what do you want me to do? How can I please you? How can I serve you? How can I live for you? Philip, you don't know me. You've been with me yet all this time, and hast thou not known me? People, I'm saying to you, have laid down the Bible. And picked up other things, pick up books. I know you think I'm weirdo, but I'll pray and I'll ask God for a message. God will start feeding me. I mean, it just enlightened me. And I'll get to a little spot and I don't understand. I can't figure it out. And I'll grab a commentary. Well, if you ain't going to tell me, I know where I can find it. You say that, preacher, that's crazy. No, it's reality with me. I literally sense the Holy Spirit of God being offended. Why can't you wait on me? Why don't you seek me? Why don't you believe me? Why don't you believe the Bible that says, I'm your guide. I will guide you in all truth. God promised that. Yet you think other men are more noble than the Holy Spirit. You ever get down and pray and ask him, say, I don't understand that verse. It just doesn't ring with me. Oh, Peter, I like this. I love this. Peter's last words in Testament. You know what the last words of counsel and instruction Peter give? Listen to the words closely. He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest also you being led away of error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. I didn't write that. That's Bible. That's what Peter said before he gave his last will and testament, the last thing he's going to say. Then he says in verse 18, here's what I want you to do. This will keep you from falling. This will keep you from destruction. This will keep your soul. He says, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen, folks, I'm gone, he said. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know whether I can equate, I don't know whether I can make this reality to you. But in order for you to have this relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, to be able to commune with you, to be able to help you, to be able to lead you, you've got to give him something in your mind that you read and you understand to an extent that you read it and to where he can now give you enlightenment to it. But you need the seed on the inside. He don't say, you just close your Bible, I'll tell you what the Bible means. No, it don't work that way. As you read your Bible, he says, I'll guide you into all truth. I'll give you that understanding. I'll give you that enlightenment in your mind. Oh, I wish you'd hear me and listen to me. How important it is. You can read that Bible through and through and through. I don't care how many times I've read it through. I don't know how many times I've read the New Testament through over and over and over again. Keep on reading the New Testament over again. The next time I read it, I feel like I'm a kindergartner, just studying it sometimes for the first time, because it's so rich. Can't quote that verse. Oh, the riches of both the mercy and the grace of God. How wondrous are his judgments, his ways past finding out. Only way you can get him, and that's what it says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the only way you get him is through the Holy Spirit of God enlightening your mind, revealing the truth to you. But the key is that he wants us to hide the word in our hearts. Turn with me and I'll close. Hebrews chapter 2. You've read it. Let me quote a beatitude first. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In hearing and receiving the word of God, it's going to take attention of the mind, soul, body, your will. It's going to take attention of all of you to receive the truth. It just don't come in because you opened it up and you know how to read the English Bible. It's a spiritual book. This is a spiritual book. It takes spiritual understanding. God is a spirit. They that worship him in spirit and truth. This is a spiritual book. So it takes a spirit to understand it. It takes the Holy Spirit of God. He's promised in 1 John, and I'm going to get to this Hebrew in just a minute. I'm cheating and getting more time. But I'm saying to you, he promises us that he will. He'll give us an enlightenment. He says, but ye have. He says, ye have an unction. Ye have an unction. This is 1 John 2:20. But ye, verse 19 talks about they went out from us, what they've been of us. They have no doubt continued with us. Verse 20 says, you're different. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now, my point this morning is we could know. We could be a lot further down the road in understanding. We wouldn't get tripped up so much by the devil, the subtlety of the devil. If we know better, we wouldn't listen to the voice of the devil. We wouldn't try to change the scriptures or add a different, easier kind of understanding. It would be enlightening to us, and we'd love it. We'd enjoy it. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation day and night. Read this in close. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The statistics says, and I guess they've surveyed a lot of people that went to church and heard preaching. Statistics says that the majority of the people never remember the message nowadays beyond just a few hours that it's been preached. My time's gone. I was going to ask you about some messages that were preached here. And could you remember who preached them and what he preached on? Do you remember somebody preaching on the abomination of cremation? Do any of you remember, does anybody here that remembers a preacher that got up here and preached on blowing smoke in God's face? And the aisles literally filled and the floors were covered with people weeping. It's a preacher that I know a lot of times people said, I don't understand him. I don't know. To me, he's one of the greatest preachers that walked through that door. He's gone to heaven now. Lest we let him what? Take heed of the word, lest we let it slip. Is that what it says? You and I have heard enough between the preachers that's been here, come to us in meetings, the little I do, to answer a whole lot of questions we have problems with now. We'd be further down the road if we didn't let a lot of the preaching just slip by. It just leaves us. We got so many distractions, so many different interests that just crowds out the word. The word don't have a chance. You know, you heard of the revivals in the olden days, the old farmers would be out in the field. It'd be 3-4 days since they heard a message. And they'd be out in the field. And Holy Ghost conviction over that message they heard on Sunday. And here it's on there Thursday, Friday of that week. 4 or 5 days past the time of the message. And that old farmer would be out there on his knees praying because the word cut him to the heart. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not Jesus' fault that Philip didn't understand who he was. You can't blame Jesus. You can't blame Jesus. You can't blame God that he didn't write his Bible right. Can't blame God that he didn't give you. I'll give you somebody that will guide you through the truth. I promise you that. He did that. things that you've heard, let slip. Anytime we should let them, unless we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Here's a kind of example. And if the word spoken by angels were steadfast, it was authoritative. It applied. It wasn't taken away. If it was steadfast, he said, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Well, I don't see. What's the old statement, the old preachers say? God's wheels of judgment grind slow but sure. You can't say God doesn't judge now. You can't think for a moment. You can't think, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said. I don't change. I change not. Just because you and I are not spiritual enough to recognize God dealing with people over their way they've treated the word of God. I've seen people come to this church and be under strong conviction. Strong conviction. And you could tell they were resisting the truth. They were resisting the Holy Spirit of God. Go out that door, never come back again. Never darken the door of a house of God again. Go out into eternity. Did you ever think about facing God to his face? And he says, you've got to do this. And you said, no, I'm not going to do it. Would anybody dare do that? Would you dare to do that? When every transgression, notice what he says. He says, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Read your Old Testament. Read your New Testament. It's in there. God judging people. He makes it clear he judges them. Some are weak, sickly among you. Some even sleep. That's die. That's still in there. It's still working. It's still dealing with people. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first was begun to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? We've got it in our hand. He made sure that you'd get a copy of it. Some people had to die. A number of people had to die for you to get a Bible. A lot of people died. Died. So you could have a Bible. Communism has burnt the Bibles, try to burn Bibles. Communism now is closing the doors for any. They even say they don't want Christians in certain areas. They won't allow Christians. Who was you telling me was telling me that too many Christians was there when you, too many Christians. They were out passing track. Too many Christians. Was seven of them. How many thousands is in that university? They come out and say there's too many Christians here. Well, they call the law. Called the law. You got a chance. Please listen. You got a chance to know the truth. You're alive. You can hear. You can understand. You've got no excuse for not being a whole Christian. one that's completed the course, passed the test, that proved themselves worthy of honor by God. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. I'm not going to leave Philip where I've been preaching about him. Philip got the message. Philip got it clear and he starts spreading it. And you'll find him on the road meeting the Ethiopian eunuch, jumping up in the chair with him. And Philip's taking the scriptures where he was reading and talked to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip got the message. You know what Philip is called? One of the last times you see Philip's name in the book of Acts, they call him Philip the Evangelist. Philip, you've been with me all this time. You don't know me. But I can see down the road, you're going to have faith. You're going to believe me. This warning is going to help you. God help us to be students of the Bible. Better than stewards of technology, things of this world, gimmicks of this world, fun in this world, fame in this world, foolishness in this world. The only hope you have of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ is that you know him. Listen to me carefully. Philip was looking right at him, and Jesus says, "You don't know me yet." Sounds like to me like we'd be more careful with our Bible, what we know, what we've heard. Shall we stand? What's that song say? About knowing him today, please don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. You hear that little voice speaking to your heart? It's you. You. I'm talking to you. I can't do that. I'm not allowed to do that. That's the Holy Ghost of God. I can't do that. He does that. He takes what's preached, what the Bible you've heard, and he applies it to your life and says, "This is why you need to be saved. This is why. This is what's wrong with you. This is where you're going if you don't accept the truth." If I ask a raise of hands, how many people here know with a certainty, without a shadow of a doubt, I mean if the trumpet blew right now, you'd go. You've got peace in your heart. You got that blessed assurance. You got that personal witness of the Holy Spirit of God saying, "You're a child of God. You can cry, Abba, Father, now." Go ahead. Call him. Call him. He's waiting on you. Oh, the joy of knowing. Oh, the joy of knowing. Amen, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's the one say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I just don't sense that I'm really ready to face God in the state I'm in, the spiritual state I'm in. Would you pray for me?" Is there one like that? "Preacher, pray for me." Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Pray for me. I want to know, preacher. I want to know. I want that peace that passes understanding. I want to know. Anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, as we look to you, I believe your word is true, and I believe it's held up. I believe it's backed up. I believe it's backed up, authoritative, and in judgmental, just as you said it is there in Hebrews chapter 2. I believe it is. I believe it's a sword that cuts, a hammer that hammers at our soul. I believe it with all my heart. Work in the lives of these that raise their hand. Go home with them. May they find a place alone with you. May they get it settled once and for all and not leave that place till it's done, it's settled. The Holy Spirit of God gives them that joy of salvation, that comfort of the Spirit, the voice from God that welcomes him into the family of God. Watch over each one. May the Spirit of God work in the heart of each one of us that literally fail in giving the study to the Word of God that we ought to. We ought to be way further down the road. We ought to be more knowledgeable. Not try to blame it on somebody else, but dig in that Bible and search the Scriptures whether these things be so. In Jesus' name, I'm going to ask you to pray one stanza. Maybe you'd want to come and say, Lord, I have not loved your book. I have not studied your book. I have wasted my life on a lot of foolish things, searching out, seeking the wisdom of this world. And I'm ashamed, as no doubt Philip was that day when God dealt with him. Or you might be one that said, preacher, I just don't have peace. The old preachers used to ask, you got peace? You got peace? And she plays one stanza. If you need to come, you come. Do you feel comfortable with your... You might need to come. You might need to come. Come, play one more stanza. God works in your heart. You feel comfortable the way you study his word, the way you search for him, the way you know him. You feel close to him. Amen. Amen, Ray Lynn. I'll pray for you. God's speaking to you. Anybody else? Lord, I've not been a good student. I've not been faithful. I'm not where I should be. I'm backing up instead of going ahead. I'm not going forward. I'm stagnant, haven't grown in years. Anybody else? Anybody else? Jesus is tenderly calling. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for these at the altar, these at the band, and these that need to be. They know deep down something's holding them back from just surrendering to you. And I pray you'd continue to work in their life. Let them not rest until they've made peace with you. I pray you'd continue to work in their heart. I pray the message would ring in their life in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.